You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this basketball edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. We hope you guys surely enjoyed the JMU breakdown and the airing of grievances from Monday. But this is hoops. There's no football game until early January, and we're not yet to Christmas. So we got to talk some basketball with our guy, our North Dakota State men's basketball analyst, Nate Zastrow. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing well. Conference season and UND tomorrow should be a fun one at the Shack.
Yeah, it will be. I think we're just going to dive right into the news here. Andrew Coleman will be out a while, and you'll hear that. I actually got a nice interview here with David Richmond coming up. We were able to get there to the media availability that the Bison had today. Going to have some episodes of BRTV coming from that. Going to have a couple of conversations on this here podcast coming from that. But what I got out of that was that Andrew Coleman is going to be out for a while, was in a sling with at Pacific. He was in a sling at Pacific, and we have no idea. It's the exact same situation as Malik Harden-Hayes, where he was in a sling on the bench, but we have no idea if the severity, whatever. And that's the other thing. Coach said today they are trending towards getting Malik Harden-Hayes back. Now, that could mean that he's coming back. That could mean that they don't know nothing about nothing. You never know. But in general, Coach Richmond doesn't like to give away any trade secrets if he can avoid it. But he did say trending towards getting Harden-Hayes back. And they'll probably need him back, with the expectation being that Andrew Morgan will return in 2022. But as you'll hear from Coach, they're being very vague. Our understanding, or the expectation, what we understand, is that it was a spleen issue, a ruptured spleen or a lacerated spleen, which is a very serious thing. I don't know, as though the athletic department has come out and said that, or that even the coaching staff has, but I mean, that's our understanding, that it's a spleen issue, and that can be anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks. And I'm dead serious when I give you that range of a timeline. So you never know. And the Bison wrap up non-conference play at 8-4. We are going to actually kick this bad boy off, though, with a with an interview with the leader of the herd. Young Rocky Cruiser, the fifth-year senior out of White Bear Lake, had a chance to chat with Rock about the expectations that were met or not met in the non-conference, and had a little chance to chat with him about UND as well.
Great. Rocky, we're good now. Now that you've had an opportunity to, because I'm sure after every game you just look at like those 40 minutes and how that went. In a less granular sense, now that you can look at the non-conference as like a whole, as all 12 games, did you reach a lot of the goals that you guys had set out for yourselves? How do you feel like non-conference play went?
Obviously, it was a roller coaster from the beginning of the season to now, right? Obviously, there were things that we need to work on. Overall, I wouldn't say we're happy or ecstatic, but I wouldn't say we're down on ourselves either, right? It's over with. We won a couple of games, lost a couple of games. Obviously could have played better in some games, could have played worse in some games. So our focus now is on to the conference, getting everyone back and healthy into the rotation, and focusing on the next game ahead of us.
Yeah, speaking of health in the rotation, this has been quite a, as you mentioned, a roller coaster. But you have to feel like there's some positive aspects too. You guys have put out damn near any combination of five possible with this makeup. What's that been like, man? Sam out, Morgan out, Coleman in and out, Malik in and out. What has it been to play with so many different combinations of your teammates?
Right, it's obviously super unfortunate when people go down, especially the key guys in the rotation. But to be able to look at the bench and say, next man up, you know, you guys are in, you're going to play meaningful minutes. And for a ton of guys to step up and play different roles in different situations, I think it's huge. You're right, it builds confidence in young guys and builds confidence in the coaching staff and the upperclassmen so that we can trust everyone on the bench in different situations.
How much fun is it to do this with Tyree and Sam one last time? I know, like, for example, Indiana State, you didn't quite have it. Sam and Tyree did. And then at Pacific, Sam didn't maybe have the box score he would have liked, but you and Tyree were excellent picking each other up. What's it like to do this with those two guys?
It's unreal, right? Those are my roommates, you know, two of my best friends in the world. And I remember after the Indiana State game, right, that was Sam's best game, especially after being back after all he's been through. I mean, he was super emotional after the game, and I was the first one to meet him in the locker room, and it was one of the coolest embraces I've ever had, just a hug with Sam. So, you know, those type of experiences are the things that you're going to remember long after, you know, a bucket or a block or something like that. It's those memories that you make with your best friends on the court.
This guy right here, young Mr. Strike, pulled the poor kid's red shirt off in the middle of the season. With Morgan going down, though, what have you seen from Josh as far as the ability to get you a blow? Because for you to go out, Grant's got to go to the five, and I would assume that you'd love to play 40 minutes a game, but I'm not sure that that's necessarily feasible.
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing with Josh is, you know, being able to switch his mindset from, you know, I'm redshirting this year, going to work on myself this year, to, you know, now I'm playing meaningful minutes, like you said. I think he's done a terrific job the first couple games he's been in the rotation. Couldn't have asked for much more with what he's done. Obviously, everyone needs to keep growing and getting better. But, you know, defense, rebound, and take care of the ball. We're not asking him to go out there and score 45 points, right? So if he plays in his role and does what he does well, I think we're going to be really good when we need to be.
He had a chance to kind of take a little bit of a glance back and look at what the Summit League has or has not accomplished. Other teams besides yourselves, and see, you know, who you expected to be good, how they're doing, who you maybe expected to be towards the bottom of the league. I know there's a couple of teams that have been surprising. You've been able to take a little bit of stock of the Summit League?
Very minimal, right? Okay. I'm pretty focused on our team here. Just seen a couple of scores, you know, a little bit interested in what St. Thomas is doing just because, you know, I'm from Minnesota. Been to their camp since I was a kid and stuff like that. But no, I've been pretty focused on NDSU and stuff like that.
Sure. So speaking of being focused on NDSU and what's immediately ahead, I'm sure you will not miss Philip Rabracha, but also the point guard Iheanacho hitting the transfer portal, heading out to James Madison. A lot of fresh faces from UND. What have you guys seen from the Fighting Hawks?
You know, they are a very well coached team. They play very hard. So we got to go out there, take care of the ball, really be urgent with our closeouts. We can't beat ourselves, I think, is the main thing. Coach Sather does a really good job of coaching, teaching those guys the right way to play the game. But, you know, we're just looking forward to getting out there and start up conference.
This was a question I was going to ask earlier, but I'm glad I get back to it. Jarius has taken such a step forward, I think, this year. And you know, so much last year was you, Rock, or you, Sam, and Tyree. What have you seen from him as far as his jump and ability to be consistent and to be a guy that if maybe two of you are having an off night, you know, he gives you 17?
Yeah. Obviously, Jarius, another one of my very close friends on the team, lovely guy to death. He's a really good, talented shot creator. And I think where he's really grown is on the defensive end, especially being able to keep guys in front of him, being able to close out on high-level shooters. Dude has come a long way since his redshirt season his sophomore year. So I'm super proud of him, and we're going to need him to have some of those 17-point games.
All right, thanks, Rocky.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we want to thank Rocky for his time. Always great to talk to Rock, and, you know, always interesting to pick his brain. Nate, you were, you know, I had a chance to post some clips on Saturday of the game against Pacific. You were one of, and we don't want to be disrespectful to the basketball program, but you were one of about 3.5% of Bison Nation that was watching the basketball game on the WCC network instead of the football game on ESPN2. Let's just call it how it is. And honestly, a sweet road dub out there, a true road win, two time zones away. And honestly, Coach Richmond really made it sound like that was their best performance of the year.
Now, I got to say, I did have the football game on the TV and had the YouTube TV debacle with about 3 minutes left and had the West Coast Network on my computer. So I was kind of double whammying, but I was not happy to not watch the last 3 minutes of that football game. So we'll just start with that. But yeah, Pacific, I mean, it was their best performance of the non-conference schedule. It seems they're really rolling with Griesel back. Their defense looked really, really good. Pacific kind of played I call it like AAU ball, where you're just trying to take your guy off the bounce, and that's just not going to work against NDSU's defense. They're in gaps. They pack the lane. They really walled up well at the rim. The New Pacific shot about 17, 18 free throws a game, and they made them finish over them, went straight up, and Pacific didn't finish well. And when they were down, they started forcing some jumpers up there, and their defense, and I said it on the radio show today, their defense is going to be what makes them a contender and what makes them a contender. Obviously, hitting 8 threes in the first half, going 8 for 19, was a great sign going forward. But like we've always talked about, if they can just stay efficient on offense and hit 8 to 10 threes a game, I know it's kind of seems like a lot, but they also shoot a lot. If they can do that and defend like they did on Friday, they're going to be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, they really are, and I think this is something that you guys just heard me talk to Rocky about, which is that, you know, they have Jarius as kind of a fourth option, but they are in a position now where as long as they can get two out of the three captains to perform, they're gonna be in a good chance, you know, good situation to win. And that was kind of my point with, you know, Rocky just not playing that well, period, against Indiana State. And I don't think you know, he would argue with me or with anybody else that he just didn't play that well against the Sycamores. But lo and behold, you had a nice little comeback game from Tyree Edie and potentially the best game of Sam Griesel's career with 25-8-5. I mean, I think we're definitely in that, you know, region, and you're coming off of that game. And I think, you know, inconsistency is something that can certainly be expected from Sam for a couple weeks, just coming back from what he's coming back from. And Griesel was 1 for 8 from the field, had 2 turnovers, you know, and ended up with 2 points and 4 assists. Like, just not a Sam night.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we talk about the three captains, the three seniors, and get 2 out of 3. I think if they can get 3 out of the 5 starters to have a solid night, I think they're going to be in good shape. Even 2 of the 5, if they defend like they did on Friday, I think they're going to be perfectly fine. And Sam's, I mean, he had 25 against Indiana State. That's not going to happen too often. That's not really what he's looking to do. Obviously, that night he was rolling. He was getting to the basket. Rocky's going to get his looks. Jarius is now being able to create his own shot. Grant can get to the basket depending on what the defense gives him on any given night. And Tyree kind of just lets the game come to him, and he hit shots. He had some mismatches in the post where he was really patient and kind of baited the defense into some up and under stuff and just played really well. But Tyree's going to give you what he's going to give you. Kind of looking like the old Tyree from the past few years where he's just solid. You just know he's going to hit an open look. He's going to defend, and he's just that rock solid core player for them.
Yeah. It's super efficient. You know, I think takes good shots. And as you mentioned, I mean, there's no such thing. Like, people loved get the ball to Vinny, get the hell out the way. Get the ball to Woody, get the hell out the way. Like, there's no such thing as get the ball to Tyree and get the hell out of the way. There is if he's in the low block and he's got a 6'4", 191-pound guard on him, then there is. But, I mean, there's no such thing as, like, Tyree dribbling the ball up and taking some guy off the bounce. And that's fine. You don't need to do that to be a great player. And he has been a great player during his time at NDSU. But exactly, honestly, what they need with how ball dominant, you know, Sam can be and Rocky can be, and frankly, Grant likes the ball in his hands too. You have to have offensive options like Jarius and like Tyree that don't need to bounce it off the floor 12 times in a possession.
Yeah, and that's what Tyree really does well, is he's really not going to force shots. And Jarius and Grant are kind of two type of players where I'd say Jarius probably more, but he can go get his own shot, late shot clock. Is he great at it? No. But they have five guys who are capable of scoring, and we talk about it all along. They don't really have a go-to guy, but they have five capable guys in their starters that can score at any given time, and that it's tough to scout that. It's tough to really key in on any one guy, and I think that when they're rolling, it makes them tough to guard.
It really does. 16-2 run to gap this one, and that, you know, I thought it was funny because you know, they had a 16-2 run to get themselves ahead of Indiana State. That's a hell of a number. I mean, to score it, you know, to score it at maybe not eight possessions, but I mean, you mix a couple threes in there, you're probably not getting to 16 without seven possessions with the only team, you know, only scoring once. That 16-2 run, that's real stuff.
Yeah, and that's a lot of defense too. I mean, your defense is kind of boosting your offense there. I know when I coached, on some of the staffs that I coached with, their big thing was get three stops in a row. If you can do that four or five times in a game, your percentage of winning is really, really high. If you go on a 16-2 run, you're getting a lot of stops in a row. Your defense is potentially turning into your offense, and their offense wasn't outstanding. They were just really efficient. And I thought that they made some really good adjustments at the half. 8 for 19. I think 19 of their 30 shots were from three in the first half. They only went 3 for 9 from three in the second half. So it shows that they're listening to coach and they're making adjustments. They really pounded that ball inside and created some mismatches and took advantage of it in the second half.
They did. They definitely did. A couple things I thought were interesting. 22 minutes for Bowden. I think as a guy that, even midway through this year's non-conference, I just wasn't sure where he was going to fit in because, you know, that backup wing spot really looked like it belonged to Malik, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just hard. You know, we wrote about it. I thought it was a pretty good piece. I don't like to pump up my own work a ton, but I thought it was a pretty good piece on him defensively. And just like, you know, you think this white kid shooter from Jamestown, that's not your, like, defensive stopper off the bench. And I'm not saying he's Corey Brown, but he's coming in and locking dudes up. And you know, as Coach Richmond will let, you know, mention in the – like, he's hitting singles on offense and not trying to hit home runs. And that's what, you know, when you're averaging 25 a game as a junior and 28 a game as a senior, I know it's North Dakota Class A basketball, but – like, your understanding, if you're Bowden Skunberg, your understanding of the game of basketball as somebody who averages 28 in a 32-minute contest or in a 36-minute contest, whatever Class A is, two 18-minute halves, I would guess, if you're averaging 28 a game, like, that, you're putting it up. And so this has just been a massive transformation for him as a player.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head, and I talked about it with Keith earlier today. I mean, when you come to college, and especially in Dave's program, he's not going to care if you can score the ball. You're not going to see the floor unless you can defend. And they put that into his head, and I've seen a lot of Class A North Dakota basketball, even when I played and was at Minot. I mean, there's not much defense played. I mean, they put the ball up. They want to score. And he obviously has a scorer's mentality, but I'm glad he figured out sooner than later that his defense is going to get him on the floor, and he can get rolling with his defense, and it can turn into offense. He's got that natural ability. He's going to provide some sparks offensively. We've seen that. He obviously knows that he can get to the basket. He's got great strength. He's got great foot movement, and he's really developed himself into a good defender. And I think it's going to keep getting him in that 15-20 minute range, and could be more depending on NDSU's injury status here going forward.
Yeah, and you know, you kind of hope, or man, if he could ever get to third year in the program, fourth year in the program, averaging 10, 12, 15 points and maybe moving up the ladder as a starter, that's a two-way player that would be really, really exciting, and it's cool what has been going on for Bowden. After a shaky game against Indiana State, we got 24-10-2-2 for the Rock.
Dog. He scored 5 touchdowns against Southside.
He's been impressive, man. He, you know, you wonder with him, you know, the fatigue, the wear and tear. Like, it's, this is not football. There's no 4-game rule, you know, unless you've taken a medical red shirt. There are just not that many guys who have really gotten minutes in 5 different seasons. And, yeah, of course, there's guys that play 4 years of college ball and then go on to play 10 years in the NBA before their bodies break down. But you just have to be impressed with the leadership and the offensive and defensive abilities of Rocky Cruiser.
Yeah, and I think you said it before, but Indiana State, he didn't play very well. And even Montana State, he didn't play very well.
No, he didn't. No. Nope.
And you know that he wasn't going to keep playing like that. He's got too much pride, and he's too good of a player to continue to play like that. So it was good to see him kind of get it rolling, hit a couple threes, had a couple great finishes down low, really protected the rim. I keep talking about defense. He did him and Grant did an unreal job at the rim. Just going straight up and doing the verticality, and he's strong enough. He's not going to get knocked off balance very easily with guys trying to finish over him at the rim. And I think that's what Rocky really brings. And then obviously he's got the emotional leader, and guys are going to feed off him. So when he's playing well, it really feeds off on the rest of the team.
Real briefly. And I mean briefly, so we can kind of keep it moving here. What did you think? 8-4 in the non-conference. You finished with a Valley win and a West Coast Conference win. You know, I think the one that'll haunt them is UNLV. I really think they probably could have and should have won that game. And I think there's certainly a universe in which they go out to Montana State and win. But my God in heaven, what we've seen from Creighton and Arizona, we thought those were winnable because of the new coach situation and Tommy Lloyd, because of how young Creighton was. Creighton just 20-pieced Villanova. And Arizona might win the national title. I mean, that's where we're at. So what were your thoughts regarding this non-conference slate?
You know, I talked about it earlier. It sure doesn't seem like they're 8-4. I mean, I don't think they've really hit their peak yet, which is good. I mean, we don't want to do that till late February, early March. But you wouldn't have been able to tell that this team's 8-4. They didn't beat anyone they weren't supposed to beat, but they also didn't lose to anyone that they weren't supposed to lose to. I mean, Montana State picked a take up there in the Big Sky Conference this year on the road. That's a tough game. UNLV is obviously a tough road game. Arizona and Creighton are what you just talked about. So I think it's about what you probably could expect looking at it preseason. You maybe want to try to get that Montana State one. But their last 3-4 games, I think, is really what we need to look at as fans and analysts. And it's the team that we wanted to see and get rolling before Summit League play, which gets to start with our rival tomorrow.
It does. And it really is too bad, the Sandra Morgan situation, because you would just like to see. I mean, I think all things equal, I just don't know that my prediction would have been that the guys that fell out would probably have been Andrew Coleman and Des McKinney. I think all things equal, and Josh Streit, oddly enough, who we didn't talk about, but who you'll see on BRTV quite a bit. I think you would have ended up with the rotation of the 5 starters and then Malik, Willie, Bowden, and Andrew Morgan. That's what I think ultimately would have happened. And I don't think he would have trimmed that to 8. He being David, I think he would have rolled with that 9, but I don't know until February, like early February. I just don't think that's going to be a part of life. So you're going to have the Strike kid playing the backup 4 and Grant Nelson playing the backup 5, as well as starting at the 4.
Yeah. I mean, their rotation is going to be slim, but I still think once conference play hits, Dave's their coach, him and their coaching staff are going to have their 8-9 that they're going to roll with.
Yep.
On any certain game, still that's just how he's always been. Foul trouble obviously could make that extend a little more, but he's going to hopefully tell his guys on what they can expect and where they're going to be at in the rotation. But I don't see him going more than 8-9 deep in conference play. Still.
Sure, and we'll talk about that a little bit here with the UND preview. But before that, my conversation today being Tuesday, you're hearing this on a Wednesday, my conversation on Tuesday with men's basketball head coach David Richmond.
Coach, now that you've had a chance to maybe not look at every single game as one and sort of look back at your non-conference, how do you feel like things went as far as what goals you had set for yourselves and whether you did or did not accomplish those?
They're not necessarily a huge goal guy, Ross, or, you know, we just try to get, our goal is to get better every day and do those things. Now, at times that was a challenging goal, to get better every day when you had the adversity of certain guys in the lineup, out of the lineup, and that's been a big narrative too. But probably what I'm most proud of is the guys have not made excuses. We've had some adversity when it comes to injuries. We've had some adversity when it comes to travel. Our guys have embraced it. And hopefully of all the things we've grown through that adversity, learned from it, because there's going to continue to be adversity through the rest of this conference season.
Yeah, I'm sure you had at least in pencil some sort of a rotation sketched out with your top, what you thought you were going to be your top 8-9 guys. And as mentioned to Rocky, I mean, I would guess you have played every combination of 5 players you could have possibly imagined here. How important has that been to developing depth, and do you think you'll be a stronger team moving down the line when maybe you do get some of these bodies back?
I certainly hope so, Ross. I think that's the big thing. We've been trying to find a silver lining in all this, and you're right. I had laminated sheets. I had minutes and rotations in
so
my notes.
Stronger
in my,
than pencil.
Oh, yeah, in my phone, and going into this game and that game, and finally I just scrapped it all. And but I do. I think of a guy like Bowden Skunberg, Willie Guy, now Josh Streit. And to be honest with you, going back to the Pacific game, that was the first night where I really felt guys in certain roles with certain expectations really felt comfortable. The starters knew who the starters were. It was the third game with Spence back, or with Sam back. And just really pleased, those second rotation guys, Willie, Bowden, AK, Josh Streit, those guys all gave us minutes. You know, now I think we're rounding into form to get Malik back too. And just see that continuity, familiarity, That's how you take steps forward when you build every day with those same pieces. And you know, we're gonna be without AK here for some time now, but when we get him back and hopefully take care of business here Wednesday night and then head into break, you can just see some things starting together. That's, you know, if we continue to grow and stay healthy.
The prognosis for Morgan pretty late in the Summit League season.
Yeah, I don't want to get into specifics because there's always that variable. I mean, we want him back obviously sooner rather than later. He wants to be back. It's killing him, you know, not to be out here. But we need to make sure everything is right. And he had a pretty severe, pretty significant deal going on. And so we need to make the right choices before we bring him back.
You mentioned Josh Streit. How did that conversation go? A kid that was obviously planning on just working on his own game and getting ready to contribute next year. Now he's your backup 4.
Honestly, you think about it and you don't know how those conversations are going to go in a sense, because he'd missed, what, 10, 8 games or something like that. But when you had the conversation, as excited as he was, it went like I expected it would with a guy like Josh Streit. Josh Streit is a winner. He wants to be involved. He wants to help a team. He wants to be a part of a team. And so he was really, really excited and couldn't be more happy for a guy, too, that's endeared by his teammates. And I do think Josh has got a chance, just the way he plays with a selfless attitude, how hard he plays, to really become a crowd favorite really, really soon.
You know, for guys like me that write about your team last year, you know, you knew what you were getting from Sam. Most of the time you knew what you were getting from Tyreen. You knew what you were getting from Rocky. The two-guard spot was the one where last year, it's like, when is that going to come consistently? Man, I've seen just massive jumps from both Bowden Skunberg and Jarius Cook. What can you say about your shooting guard spot moving into this conference season?
Just pleased, right? I mean, anytime you can continue to add pieces, anytime you can continue to get better for obvious reasons, it makes you better. It makes things fall into rhythm a little bit. And Jarius has been terrific. I heard Rocky talking about it. He's made great strides defensively. He shot the ball extremely well. And you can see, too, the trajectory of our successes the last 3 games. A lot of that correlates with the way Bowden's been playing. You know, Bowden's been putting the ball in the hole. He's been hitting singles in our program. Offensively, we talk about, but he's been outstanding defensively. Bowden is extremely, extremely competitive. He brings kind of a swag, a vibe, a spirit, you know, to the court, and our guys feed off that, and it's been great to see. And I think, too, there's been some situations and opportunities now that, because of the way both of them are playing, we can play them together as well.
The backup point guard spot was an interesting one, I think, coming into the season. That became a starting point guard spot, maybe in a way that you wouldn't have wanted it to. But, you know, you talked about Tim Miles telling you how much you can expect out of a junior college guard right away. Do you see kind of those chains breaking off of Willie, or kind of getting over that JUCO wall? Can you see the game slowing down for him a little bit?
I can, and I know that's because some of it I want to see that, right? And that's in my head, but you can start to see it. You can start to see it in that Pacific game. You know, they went under a ball screen, he hit it. He didn't hesitate. You know, he played good, meaningful minutes in that game, in a road game. You see him come out to practice with just a more, with a smile, with a joy about him. Like, he's just more and more comfortable in our environment around his team. And you just, the perspective side of, you know, duh, obvious, you know, it takes some time. The process side of me, you just want it now. And there's good and bad to that. But just, you know, Willie, at the end of the day, was always our kind of guy. And you're starting to see him just get more and more comfortable, and that's translating into his and our successes on the court as well.
You had a chance, now that you've had a couple days between games, to kind of take stock of what other programs in your league accomplished in the non-conference. Maybe somebody picked near the top that isn't doing so well, or somebody that's surprising you. For me, it's certainly Western Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, we pay attention to those scores closer than anything, but we're such an us-focused team, you know, and no disrespect to any of those guys, but winners focus on winning, losers focus on winners. And I'd be lying to you if, you know, we don't check scores. If the game's not in the background, you know, last night as conference play started. But we've got to worry about us. We've got to focus on us. We've got to concentrate on getting us better. And again, I like the direction that we're moving. We'll see how that translates against a very, very good, very talented, very tough-minded opponent in the University of North Dakota.
Ian Acho wins Freshman of the Year last year in the Summit League, then moves on to the transfer portal. And I'm sure you guys won't miss Philip Rabracha either. What does this kind of new-look UND team bring to the table?
I see, in my years, I see this as being the most Paul Sather-esque team, meaning these guys are really tough. They compete. Down 16 the other night to Dixie State, all of a sudden it's a 1-2 possession game. They play hard, they play together. You can tell they like each other chemistry wise. You know, some of the successes, lack of successes, you know, they've got some of their main guys out. I mean, that hurts you when you've got some of the new faces that they've got when Sucre's been out, Nero's been out, and there's perspective in all of that. I like this team. I like their team a lot just because I'm a big fan of how Coach Sather does things, and you can see that reflecting on the court from UND.
What do you expect, I guess, from kind of a fan atmosphere? What are you hopeful for from a fan atmosphere? What do you guys need to do to get a win tomorrow night?
Well, I'm hopeful that this place is packed, Ross. You know, I'm hopeful that this place is packed. It's something that we talk about a lot, that legacy piece. Tyree and I have talked about it, packing the shack. And again, we're appreciative of anybody and everybody that gets the opportunity to come out. You know, we feel like we've got a tremendous product. It's a wonderful facility. We're playing a tremendous opponent, a very well-coached opponent. There's other amenities, too, to come and join us, and it's right before the holiday break. I know my kids are out of school, so what other excuses do you need to come watch the Bison?
All right, thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Ross.
Not every program in America gives you 8-9 minutes to just chop it up with the head coach, so we always appreciate that from both Coach Richmond and NDSU SID, Wes Offerman. Wes is the best. We really appreciate him. Before we get into this UND preview, though, Nate, we got to talk about the sponsor of this here podcast, and that is Herd and Horns. Phenomenal menu, phenomenal atmosphere, right next to campus. It is just the place to take in Bison athletics, and honestly, it's big time because they are very cognizant. You know that they're with us. They're ride or dies for hoops. If it's streaming, if they can find it on ESPN3, basketball road games are on at Herd and Horns.
Yeah, and you don't see that on every campus. I actually was able to go there for an unfortunate.
Yeah, I was going to say you were there the last time you stayed with me. You were there, and obviously not the circumstance that we would have hoped, but you had to love the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's an unreal place. You got the back room to kind of just chill. It's just really spaced out, and we had a great time there. And I wish they had that when I was on campus. Probably would have been my spot to go to watch some college football and NFL on Sundays because all the Packer games obviously weren't always on there. So, yeah, great spot to be for, especially for Bison fans and students.
Probably good for your cardio and Coach Jason Miller that Herd and Horns did not exist during your Bison career.
That is absolutely correct.
All right, let's get into UND. I mean, here's the two biggest things for me. Rabracha at Iowa, averaging 20 minutes a game, shooting 55% from the field, 6.6 boards per game, leads the Hawkeyes in fouls. I saw that. I just thought it was funny. And then Tyree Iheanacho, the Summit League Freshman of the Year, transfer portal, James Madison University, goes from the, you know, 32 minutes per game point guard at UND, starting Summit League Freshman of the Year, to coming off the bench, getting 18 minutes per game and averaging 3 points. And that's, you know, I think a cautionary tale sometimes with that transfer portal. But a lot of fresh faces, and man, this could be – and you think the Bison are undermanned. You look at that team from last year and you say, okay, I'm pulling Rebrach off the squad. I'm pulling Iheanacho off the squad. And I'm telling – and by the way, Sabian Sam's gone also. And I'm telling you, well, Caleb Nero and Mitchell Suker better have big, big games. Caleb Nero and Mitchell Suker did not play against Dixie State on Saturday. Coach Richmond mentioned them by name as guys who are beat up. They might not play tomorrow. So this is a undermanned UND Fighting Hawks basketball team.
Yeah, I agree, but it's also still a rivalry. I know NDSU is going to prepare for them as if both those guys are going to play, and they're going to prepare for it as their first conference game. They got to protect their home court. We've seen some funky things in that rivalry. UND didn't have teams that should have been able to match up with NDSU the past few years and found a way to split with them, I believe, the last 2 years with Marlon Stewart and last year with Rebrach as the guy. And they're playing like 11, 12 guys right now that I've seen in between 20 to 28 minutes. So it's going to be interesting to see what Sather goes with. He might be just trying to find some guys who are going to compete and try to put the ball in the hole. They're averaging about 68 a game. Only two D1 wins of their four wins. They got two non-D1s. They've really struggled. They don't have any road wins, any true road wins to start the year. And their two home wins are against Troy and Montana by 2 points. So haven't looked great. They're obviously got a lot of fresh faces, like you said. The kid that went to James Madison is pretty good. I think they beat Virginia a few weeks ago. They actually got a home game with
them. They got a home game with Virginia. Yep.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, it's still a rivalry. I know it's a little less playing twice a year in the same conference. It's not just the one game a year flipping home courts, but it's still NDSU versus UND, and I think Coach Richmond really thrives on this rivalry, still being a North Dakota guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think he does too, and that kind of brings us to our next point, which is that, oddly enough, especially since, you know, last year was the home and homes, you know, or the home and aways, or whatever the hell you want to call them, it was the two-game sets. You know, you did not, if you played a team at home, you did not have to go on the road, as in NDSU played South Dakota State twice at home, played UND twice on the road, ended up, unfortunately for them, splitting with both. I'm sure they would have liked to have gone 3-1 there, or even obviously 4-0. But the Bison are just 2-2 against UND in the new arena. And I would guess, I'm certainly not going to go back in time and look it up, but I would guess they were favored in all four games. I can't think of a time where UND would have been, you know, odds on favorites to win in Fargo. So this is, you know, kind of a game that they need to win. I mean, they need to buckle down and play well.
Yeah, and three conference games here at home to start Summit League play. I mean, when you want to talk about contention and games that you need to make sure you win, you got to protect that home court. South Dakota State's obviously going to be a tough place to play. Oral Roberts, I mean, there's a lot of tough places to play, but when you're competing for conference titles, you got to win games that the teams that you're competing with probably aren't going to lose. So protecting your home court's going to be huge. Just seeing the opening spread here tomorrow, 16.5.
I mean, Jesus.
It's tough. It's tough for tough to not win that one, but obviously can't be looking at that. But that makes
The implied
NDSU's going to have to really not play well to not win that one tomorrow.
The implied win probability of -16.5 is heavy. It's really, really heavy. What do we think the rotation – I'm going to give my take, and you can go off of that. What do we think the rotation looks like if Leek is back and Coleman is out? What I think that looks like, honestly, Nate, is you're going to get, like, however many minutes they want to sit Rocky. So if you want 30 minutes of Rocky or 31 minutes of Rocky, I think you're going to get 9 minutes of Strite. And what that'll be is obviously Grant at the five and Strite at the four, because they can and will play Malik at the four, certainly can and will play Tyree at the four if they're trying to get Grant a blow while Rocky's on the floor. And I think then you'll see really the 2, 3, and 4 positions as far as bench seating. I think you're going to see you know, that role go to Bowden and Malik, and you'll just see the starters kind of cycle through. And again, I think the Strite-Rocky relationship will be very much like the Griesel-Guy relationship. If there are 31 minutes of Sam, you will see 9 minutes of Willie.
Yeah, I think you're about right. And just looking at their box score from Pacific, I mean, Tyree doesn't need to play 36 minutes, most likely.
No, he does not.
Malik can play some minutes there. You take maybe three off Rocky, two or three off Sam, and get Coleman's minutes. That puts Malik in the 12-15 range. First game back, that seems probably ideal for right now.
But no Coleman.
See what he gives you. And no Coleman, so there's four more minutes as well. See how guys are playing, see how the game goes. Hopefully tomorrow we just come out rolling and can get our guys some rest and keep them in the 22-25 minute range with another conference game. Wow, we don't play till after Christmas.
I know, and that,
so yeah, just make sure we get this one.
And not just after Christmas. I mean, that they don't play again until you get back into the old Thursday Saturday grind. I've got my brother-in-law's wedding too on the 31st, which is going to be great. South Dakota State drive to Minneapolis, drive back South Dakota. Gotta love that. But that's the thing. They have. I know 16.5 point. Well, I didn't know, but I know now. 16.5 point favorites, they got to take care of business and not look ahead to definitely wanting to sweep South Dakota State and South Dakota at home, not only just to start conference play out 3-0, but you don't want to have to go to Brookings to salvage a season split with the Jackrabbits. You don't want any part of that.
Yeah, and if you play well tomorrow and then you can go ahead and sweep the South Dakotas, which would be huge, obviously one game at a time. Then you got a bad Denver team on the road. You got a bad Omaha team on the road. Then you got St. Thomas and Western back at home. I mean, you're looking at
yeah.
a potential 7-0 start to Summit League play before you go to Kansas City and Oral Roberts. That's what they got to be thinking. Obviously, they're never going to talk about, hey, we got to be 7-0. They're going to take
right.
it a game at a time.
1-0.
As media – us as media and looking at the schedule, I think 7-0 is a real possibility if they can protect their home court for sure.
Absolutely. All right. What do we got left here? Yeah, give me the – I'll go with mine and then you can go with yours. I like UND to cover. I've got 71-60 Bison.
Yeah, I think it's definitely going to be closer. Sather's got to think he's got to kind of slow it down to have a chance. I don't know if he thinks he can – really score. I think it's going to be more of a half court game. I think you're about right. I'm going to say 70 to 60.
Wow. All right. We're right there. All right. Thank you, Nate, so much for your time. We want to thank Herd and Horns for being the sponsor of this year's show. And we want to thank all you fantastic people for listening. Have a phenomenal rest of your week and go Bison.